Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Into the Universe with me, Michael Lang. It's been quite some time since my last episode, but I thought it was time to reprise our look into the universe. For those of you who have listened to the podcast before, welcome back. For those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. I would recommend listening to the previous episodes to get a taste of what we're looking at and gain some good knowledge. To recap a bit, in our first episode, we looked at distances in space and how they're measured, the inner and outer planets of the solar system, a brief look at the Voyager mission, and the life cycle of stars. For this episode, I'm going to be talking about our closest star and the bringer of life to our world, the Sun. The Sun is at the centre of the solar system, and for long was at the centre of many ancient cultures, mythologies and systems of worship, as it was seen as the bringer of all light and life. The Sun accounts for 99.86% of the mass of the solar system, and keeps all of the objects in the solar system in its orbit due to the extent of its gravitational force. The Sun is a yellow dwarf star, designated as a GV star, and it is in the main sequence. But what does that mean? Well, the term yellow dwarf star can actually be a bit misleading, as the Sun is in fact white, appearing yellow through the Earth's atmosphere. It is based on where it lies in the spectral type chart in the main sequence. We learnt in the last episode that a main sequence star is one which generates thermal energy through the nuclear fusion of hydrogen atoms into helium. The designation of the Sun is a GV star, as referenced on the Hertzsprung-Russell diagram. G refers to the spectral type of the star classified under the Morgan-Keenan, or MK, system, which uses letters to categorise the temperature and density of the star's photosphere. The letter O represents the hottest type, followed by B, A, F, G, K, and the coolest, M. There are also categories L and T after M, which include cool red and brown dwarf classes. Each category is then subdivided using a numeric digit, with 0 being the hottest and 9 the coolest. The Sun is actually a G2V star, meaning it is at the hotter end of the G classification. The G category is essentially in the middle of the spectral type, which is why it is white in colour. Although it is slightly confusing, the hottest stars are blue, going through white, and into the coldest stars, being red. The V is actually a Roman numeral which categorises the Sun as being in the main sequence. Other categories are as follows. 0 being hypergiants, 1 being supergiants, 2 being bright giants, 3 being giants, 4 being subgiants, 5 being main sequence or dwarfs, 6 being subdwarfs, and 7 being white dwarfs. Another category the Sun can be classed by is its absolute magnitude. Absolute magnitude is the term for measuring the intrinsic brightness of a celestial object. Main sequence stars are interesting in that they cover a wide range of absolute magnitudes in comparison to the other classifications. The Sun has an absolute magnitude of +4.83, estimated to be brighter than about 85% of the stars in the Milky Way. In terms of size, the Sun is pretty big. It has a radius of 696,342 kilometres plus or minus 65 kilometres, a diameter of about 1.392 million kilometres, and a circumference of about 4,366,813 kilometres. The Sun is an almost perfect sphere, its equatorial and polar diameters only differing by 10 kilometres. It also has a mass of 1.9 nonillion kilograms, or 19 with 29 zeros after it. As a comparison, you could line up 109 Earths across the face of the Sun and fit about 1.3 million Earths inside it. In terms of mass, the Sun is about 333,000 times as massive as the Earth. In terms of temperature, this can vary greatly based on the distance from the core. Estimates for the centre are as high as 15.7 million Kelvin, the corona about 5 million Kelvin, and the photosphere 5,778 Kelvin. For information purposes, a Kelvin is degrees Celsius plus 273.15, or degrees Fahrenheit plus 459.67, 0 Kelvin being absolute zero. I'm next going to look at the structure of the Sun, starting from the centre and working to the outside. At the centre of the Sun is the core, which extends to about 20 to 25% of the Sun's radius. 99% of the Sun's power is generated within the core through fusion, occurring within 24% of its radius. By 30% of the radius, fusion has stopped almost entirely. The energy created in the core is transferred outwards through the outer layers, eventually escaping as sunlight or the kinetic energy of particles. I won't go into the details of the fusion reaction occurring in the Sun's core. However, it is worth noting that the Sun releases 4.26 million metric tons of energy per second, the equivalent to 9.192 times 10 to the 10 megatons of TNT per second. Next is the radiative zone, which starts from the core out to about 0.7 solar radii. In other words, it accounts for approximately 50% of the Sun's radius. Temperatures in the radiative zone drop from approximately 7 million Kelvin by the core to 2 million Kelvin at its edge. Next is the tachocline, which acts as a transition layer between the radiative zone and the convective zone. The convective zone goes from about 0.7 solar radii to its surface. We then come upon the photosphere, which is the visible surface of the Sun. It is the layer below which the Sun becomes opaque to visible light. The photosphere is tens to hundreds of kilometres thick and is cooler on the outer edge than the inner edge, which causes the Sun to appear brighter in the centre than at the edge. Finally, we come to the atmosphere of the Sun, which is composed of three parts: the chromosphere, the transition region, and the corona. This is what is visible when we see a solar eclipse. I won't go into how the Sun was created, as this was covered in the last episode. However, it is worth noting that the Sun is believed to have formed around 4.57 billion years ago from the collapse of part of a giant molecular cloud. It is estimated that the Sun has become 30% brighter over the past 4.5 billion years, increasing at a rate of 1% every 100 million years. Towards the end of its life, the Sun will expand and become a red giant, growing large enough to consume Mercury, Venus, and possibly even Earth. The final form of the Sun will be that of a white dwarf, before finally fading to black. So that is our Sun. Quite literally, the giver of life. There is a load more that I could talk about in relation to the Sun, however, it would take an age to go over the individual aspects. It's strange to think that the object which gave life to the Earth will eventually cause its destruction. The human race will probably be long gone by then, and even if it were not, we will be consumed by the heat and collapse of the atmosphere. I hope that you found this episode informative. Again, there is plenty more out there to learn about the Sun, and the internet is a great source of information about it. I haven't decided on the next episode's topic, however, I might have a look at constellations of stars. In a final mention, I would just like to give a shout out to two films which I've watched since the last episode, which tie in quite nicely to this podcast. The first is Interstellar, which gives a fascinating look at black holes, a topic which I will try and cover in a future episode. The other is The Martian, a film which looks at a person who gets stuck on Mars. I found this gave a realistic view of distances in space and how long it would take humans to traverse between the closest planets. I would highly recommend the novel of this as well as the film. So, thank you for joining me, and I look forward to being back soon with the next episode.